go. You remember that? Amen. And now there's something in me that makes me want to go. Amen. It makes me want to fellowship with God's people. And I love Wednesday evening prayer meeting time. I just love any time that we can gather together with God's people. And if you enjoy church, you're going to love heaven. Amen. You're just going to love heaven. Because you're going to be with a bunch of Christian folks up there. Those have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to just glorify and praise the Lord forever and forever and forever. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful time. If you have your Bible tonight, we'll go for a little while in the book of Philippians. In the third chapter of the book of Philippians, Paul's writing here. I love the writings of Paul. Man, he was so instructional. Man, you would thought that he had always been a Christian, but that was not the case. Many members, Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. Amen. He was headed in the opposite direction. How many can testify and witness to that? I myself was headed in the opposite direction until the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of me. And thank God that he did. In Philippians chapter 3, let's begin with verse number 10 tonight, if you would. Thank you for the standing for the reading of God's word. We won't keep you standing long. But in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, beginning with verse 10, we'll go down through verse number 14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. God, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit that we feel here tonight. And for those who have gathered here tonight in this sanctuary, God, for the purpose of glorifying and worshiping and studying your word. Father, I pray that you would attend to the needs of the many people tonight who had prayer requests, those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who are traveling. Father, I pray, God, that you would touch in each and every case. God, I pray that you would touch the world, Lord, the ones that seemingly are concerned about your spirit, about your love. Father, I pray that you would convict their hearts, bring them to an altar of repentance. Father, I ask that you bless each and every one here tonight. God, anoint these lips of clay, God, that I might just be a vessel that the Holy Spirit would speak through tonight, God, to give us that word, to edify us, God, to strengthen our spirit. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Why don't you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. I never get tired of, amen, praising God. I consider it an honor to be able to praise the Lord. I mentioned it the other night. The Bible says God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. And sometimes I think I fail in praising him greatly, but I want to be found trying, amen, to lift the Lord up in praise. Tonight we want to talk just a little bit about Paul's instructions here to the church of Philippi. He begins to talk about some things, and then he begins to address the humility of the church and how that we need to understand where God has brought us from, and we also need to understand where God is taking us. Amen. Many, many times we can testify about where God has brought us from. Given an opportunity tonight, I'm pretty sure each and every one of us could stand and tell a story how that God saved us, how that God instilled his spirit within us, where we were headed, where we were going, the things that we were involved in, and the things that were pulling us away from the power of God. You know, I talked to many, many people being in the ministry, and you know, I think some folks, I know sin is sin, but I think some folks really, really beat themselves up quite a bit because of their past and because of the things that they have done. But understand, had it not been for Jesus, had it not been for a place called Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, then every one of us would have been responsible for our own sins, and we'd have to stand before the judgment seat of God without an ambassador, without a propitiation, without a mediator. I'm so glad that Jesus came, amen, and died on the cross of Calvary so that we could be washed in that precious shed blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary for us. But there's something, and I've mentioned this many, many times, Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a trait that God wants us to use. How many knows you can't use forgiveness up? It's not like the board game where you get one free out of jail. Forgiveness is something you can continually use over and over and over. And may I say, the more that you use it, I believe the more humble that you can become. I believe the more humility is expressed in one's life when we understand how to forgive. Now, when we understand how to forgive, I think, first of all, we need to understand how Jesus forgave us. Amen. Because we know ourselves. Nobody knows us better than ourselves, and we know where Jesus brought us from. So when people trespass against us, as Jesus taught us to pray and taught the disciples to pray, he said, "Forgive those that trespass against us as you have forgiven us." You know, forgive us of our trespasses. Let us forgive those that trespass against us. So forgiveness is a very remarkable trait, and it's something that Christians should have and should be able to readily use at the opportunity. Now, you know, forgiveness is not condoning, okay? You don't condone what people have done, but you forgive people. And here's the thing that differs between us forgiving folks and Jesus forgiving folks. Because when Jesus forgave folks, thank God when he forgave me, he forgot my past. Now, that's a big, big difference. We have forgiven folks, but how many knows we still remember those things? And given the opportunity, the adversary, how many knows you have an adversary? You have a Savior, but you have an adversary. Amen. And the adversary will come and he'll tap you on the shoulder and he'll try to recall and refresh your memory on things that you have already forgiven folks, or you've already forgiven the situations, and he'll try to bring those things up from the past and he'll try to get you all hot and bothered all over again. He'll try to get those things coming up to you. Amen. Those things that you thought you was over, those things that you thought that you'd put to rest, those things that you thought would never bother you anymore, given an opportunity, Satan will make those things arise in your heart. If you're not careful, they'll well up again. So we need to understand, once we forgive, we need to put those things behind us. Amen. We don't need to go back and pick up stuff and bring that back in our lives, because it will be a hindrance. It will be contraband. It will be a heavy weight. And how many knows this race is hard enough to run without added weight? Amen. When you start adding weight, it makes more and more difficult. And the weight that I'm talking about is the cares of this world, the things that bring us down, the heavy burdens, the situations that arise in our life. And if we're not careful, we'll be trying to run this race for the Lord, and we'll be so burdened down that we can't even hardly walk, let alone run. So Paul is addressing these things, and who better than the Apostle Paul to be able to address the situation of forgetting those things that are behind. Now, he said this, that possibly, you know, he was talking because he said, "This is what I do." Okay. And then being what I do, I encourage you to do it also. How many knows it's not the easiest thing in the world to lay those things down, to forget those things that are behind you? Amen. Because our memory is great. We remember so many times. We remember the thing. I will assure you, you will remember one bad episode better or it'll be more focused in your mind than 10 good episodes. We're just that way. The human nature is we remember those bad things. We remember those bad times. We remember when we're evil treated. We remember when we're ridiculed. We remember when we're spoken about and talked about, and we remember those things. But the Apostle Paul says, you know, here's the thing. He says, "I want to know him." No, not know about him, but I want to know him. And the love that the talks about, the agape love, the love that is intimate, the love that we share with Christ Jesus, the love that we can be ourselves with him and know, he knows our past anyway. And besides, let me just kind of remind us, there is nothing in our life that we can hide from the Lord. And you may hide it from everybody else, but you can't hide anything from the Lord. But the thing about this, the Apostle Paul said, "I may know him." How many remembers the song? It says, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." And the song says, "He knew me, yet he loved me." Jesus knew me
but yet he loved me. I was not a lovable situation. I was not a born again Christian when Jesus started loving me, but he loved me anyway. And he convicted my heart, and he brought me to an altar of repentance. And I realized that I was nothing without him, but I realized that I could have a brand new life. Amen. I realized that I could have a mulligan. I could have a do over. Amen. And that was so remarkable to me, because I wanted my past to be gone away with. I didn't want to continue in those things. I didn't want to be able to go to bed at night wondering if I woke up in the morning or not, and wondering, even if I didn't, where would my destination be? Would it be heaven or would it be hell? But thank God, because of the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and that blood that's been applied to my life, I don't worry about it anymore. I shut my eyes. I close my eyes, not because of anything that I've done, but because of everything that Jesus has done, and he's made a way to have a clear conscience. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. Praise God. You know, so many times we think we know people. We think we know one another. And I remember Sister Penny when we were dating and all, and it's amazing. You know, I've told folks, and I've shared with people that we're going to perform the ceremony for them, you know. And I'm telling them, I said, when you date people, that is as good as it gets, okay? When you date that person, you are seeing them in their splendor. That's the glamour shots, amen. But you know, you got to understand that after the glamour is over, amen, you better love one another, amen. Because I guarantee you, and I say this about women, but men do the same thing. I guarantee you, make sure that your hair's parted right, and your teeth brushed, and you get the mouthwash and all that stuff. But you're looking your very best, amen, when you meet that person, you know. But later on, then you get to know them. You get to understand what white cold cream is, all smeared all over somebody's face, and you understand what the rollers are. And it used to be the stockings hanging on the shower thing, and nothing worse. That's like running into a spider web when those things are wet and all. Then you get to know them, but you love them anyway. And let me tell you something. I said that to say this. Jesus knew me in my most terrible situation. And there was nothing hid about me. He knew me. He knew the rottenness. He knew the sin. He knew the evil. He knew all about that. But he loved me anyway. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, I can relate to that, because I was working against the Lord. I was doing everything I possibly could against Christianity. But Jesus loved me anyway. I was putting people to death. I stood there as they stoned Stephen, and they brought his coats to me, and I watched that and didn't do anything about it. But you know, Jesus loves me anyway. And Jesus has not only forgiven me of that past, but he has wiped that from his memory banks. The Apostle Paul said, how great that is to be able to know him and the power of his resurrection. Can I tell you, amen, that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and they took him and they placed him in a borrowed tomb, that is not the end of the story. If that had been the end of the story, I wouldn't have been able to preach you grace and mercy tonight. I would not have been able to preach you that the blood of Jesus Christ can set you free. But let me tell you something, just as important as him dying on the cross of Calvary, which when that stone was rolled away and he came out of that tomb victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. That I may know him in his fullness. That I may know the entire price that he paid for my salvation. That I know he is a risen Savior. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what political correctness says. I know from the Word of God that I serve a risen Savior. I'm born again. I'm a blood-bought Christian. Amen. Not because of anything that I've done, but because Jesus loved me so much. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know him. And I want to know him in his power of his resurrection. And listen to this now. It's good so far, isn't it? I love that resurrection story. Amen. I love him in that intimate love that I can have. Amen. Someone that sticketh closer than a brother. I can have a comforter, the Bible said. A comforter that will never leave me. But the Apostle Paul doesn't stop there. He says, not only do I want to know him in his power of his resurrection, but I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, Lord, why did you put that in there? Because I want to know him fully. I want to know him even in his suffering. I want to share something with you. Even in his, our sufferings will come out stronger. I will assure you that every trial that the Lord brings you through, you'll come out, amen, with more faith, more power, amen, a greater strength, because what God doesn't keep us from, he'll keep us through, amen. And we can have fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. The Bible said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, amen. But this only makes us stronger and more dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. One of these days, if I go by the way of the grave is going to burst wide open. Amen. This old body's not going to go to heaven. Amen. But the soul that has been born again, glory to God, is going to take up its abode in a glorified place, in a glorified body. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that Jesus made a way for us. And then he says, not as though I had already attained. There's a song, an old song that says, Jesus is your ticket to heaven. You remember that song? I don't know the rest of it. Jesus is a ticket to heaven. I'm so afraid. So many comfortable Christians are sitting around in the great air, what do you call those, air, where you sit and wait on the airplanes and the terminal. That sounds bad, don't it? Terminal. That's what the doctors say when you got. I guess that's what it is. You're sitting there waiting, and you got your ticket in your hand, but you're just sitting there waiting. And I begin to think about that. I think we Christians ought to keep that ticket in our hand, but I think we ought to not just sit around in the terminal waiting. Amen. We ought to get that group program going on. I got my ticket. Have you got yours? I was born again. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that Jesus died for you? Let me tell you, I got my ticket, but you can have one too. You talked about it. We need to spread the gospel. It doesn't always have to be a minister to spread the gospel. You can tell folks about Jesus Christ. You can tell them your personal testimony, how that the Lord saved you, how he brought you out of that terrible sin nature, and he gave you hope, and he gave you that promise of glory. Yeah, I got my ticket, but I want some people to go with me. Amen. I want a lot of everybody I come in contact. Not as though I've already attained, either we're already perfect or complete, but I follow after. I follow after. How many followers of Christ do we have? Amen. Let me tell you something. When you're a devout follower of Christ, man can fall by the wayside, but that's all right. Your eyes is on Jesus, not on the man. Hello? I believe too many people have been followers of men, followers of an occult, followers of something else. Remember, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. Amen? The Bible says he won't leave you, he won't forsake you. Amen? But if your eyes are on man, man is subject to fail you because he's human. Amen? And the Apostle Paul, as well as he wrote, as close as he was to God, the many churches he started, he himself said, I'm not perfect. I hadn't attained it yet. I'm not where I want to be. I don't believe there's anyone here under the sound of my voice. He says, I'm as close to the Lord as I want to be. Amen. Because when the Lord saves us, he gives us a hunger. Amen. To be more about his business. To be more in his will. To do what is pleasing unto the Lord. To walk the way the Lord wants us to walk. To even talk and communicate the way the Lord wants us to speak. The Apostle Paul said, No. I'm not perfect. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not telling you this because I know it all. I'm not telling you this because I'm perfect. I'm not telling you this because I've already attained and there's nothing else that I can do. He said, I'm telling you this because this is where the Lord has brought me from. But let me tell you, after all of that, He used two words that I want you to remember tonight out of this passage of Scripture. And I'll read it for you in just a minute. But it's all good. It's all wonderful. But these are two words I want us as a church, want us as Christians to remember. I want us even as our relationship with others and the things in the past that have weighted us down, those things that have caused us maybe sometime not to really be on fire for God like we need to be, because this thing in the background keeps rearing its ugly head, and the thing from the past and whatever it was. And I'm not trying to point to one particular thing. It could be anything that's causing you. Let me tell you when the devil does it. It does it when you're about to get a blessing. He does it when you want to be dedicated and committed to His Word, and you want to pray and you want to fast. This devil keeps bringing up all these things. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Even standing up here behind the rostrum, the devil, behind the pulpit, the devil tells me so many times, "You're not worthy." And you know what I tell him? "You're exactly right, Satan. I'm not worthy. I'm nothing but flesh and bone. But that is within me is precious. That is within me is anointed. That is within me, you can't touch it." Amen. Hallelujah. And the devil don't want to hear that. The devil don't want you to praise Jesus, because he knows he has no antidote for Jesus. How many knows Jesus is greater than any problem, issue, or anything that Satan can bring against us? And the Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do." This is what I do. And the way he says it, I think it would be a good suggestion for the church at Philippi to practice as well. In other words, he doesn't say you got to do it, but I believe he's telling them you'll be strongly blessed if you do this. But in the very fact that way, and the way that he says it, lets me know that it's not going to be the easiest thing for us to do. You know, how many knows that some of the most rewarded things are sometimes the most difficult things to do? I mean, if it was easy and everybody could be rewarded, we'd all climb that high mountain, right? We'd all run that, how far is it? 29 miles? 26 miles. But brother, it's a lot of preparation. I've heard you talk about it. You don't just get up one morning and say, "I'm going to run 26 miles. If I was to tell my wife that, she said, "Why don't you just get in the truck and drive?" Not near as much preparation. But in order to do, if it was easy, Brother Jim, everybody would be doing it. But you got to work. You got to exercise your lungs, from what I understand. You got to do certain things, and it's a goal that he set, and to work at that goal. And the Apostle Paul said, "Listen, this is what I do." He said, "I forget those things." I'm not telling you it's easy. In fact, it's very difficult to forget those things. You may put them out of your mind for a little bit, but you remember those things. You can tell me right now, I guarantee you, every one of you can tell me right now if anybody owes you any money. And I'm not putting you down, I can tell you too. It's just that we don't forget those things. But the Apostle Paul said they're damaging. They're not growth. They're not good for your spiritual growth. They're not edification for you. But if you can learn to put those things behind you, he said, "This is what I do." And listen, Paul had a lot to put behind him. Paul wasn't always the good little Paul. He was Saul. Persecuted the Christians. He had a lot of evil to put behind him. He had a lot of things that he needed to put in the past. But he said, "This is what I do. I forget those things which are behind." And here's the two words I want us to remember tonight. And reaching forth. We as Christians need to be reaching forth. I want to share something with you. And you may want to throw a songbook at me. We all agree we need to forget the sins of our past. We need to forget the times that we talk bad about somebody. We need to forget all of those bad instances. But can I tell you something? And I hope you understand what I'm about to say. But I was reading a book that goes into detail in some of these scriptures. And the writer here, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it was his idea that sometimes we need to go ahead and get past yesterday's manna. Now, because manna is associated with blessing, and we're taught to remember the good things and to remember the blessings of God and to remember in our testimonies. But as he went on, I began to see his point. Some Christians are still living on 10-year-ago blessing. Not that the blessing was bad, by no means. The blessing was good. The blessing was instrumental. The blessing was timely. But we're still living in 10 years ago blessing, and we're not reaching forth. And many of Christians, I won't say us, many Christians have not made any improvement in their lives. They have not made any maturity in their lives because they're still on milk of the Word and they haven't reached forth for the meat of the Word. I believe that as long as we've been saved, there's times we need to reach forth, amen, and quit being yesterday's Christian, but begin to be tomorrow's Christian. Because he said, not only to forget those things behind, amen, but don't even dwell on those things during this day. I'm already looking tomorrow. I'm already looking for the future, for what God is about to do. I'm not one to believe that the healing is over. I'm not one to believe that revival is over. I'm not one to believe, amen, that people don't care about God. I will assure you, somebody somewhere in this world today is hungry for a move of God. We just listen to the procrastinators. We just listen to the media, and they say nobody loves Jesus. Yes, they do. God's going to have a remnant. God's going to have a church. There may be few in number, but God's going to have a people that love Him. I'm reaching forth. I'm reaching forth. Let me tell you about reaching forth. How many knows that for a number of times that you go out and you pick the fruit, you pick the low-hanging fruit. Amen? The ones that are easy to get to. Can I suggest that maybe the modern day church has just about stripped the low vines of fruit? Amen? Because it's not the easiest thing to do to reach forth. Come on. To grow in God. Because when we grow in God, somebody has told us that the more we know, the more we're responsible for. And that scares a lot of Christians. It scares us into complacency. It scares us into our comfort zone. And being in a comfort zone, we're not willing to put forth the effort. Amen. I'm not talking about going and pulling an apple off a tree. I'm talking about going and pulling your Bible out. I'm talking about getting on your knees and praying and fasting and reaching forth. Amen. Because I want tomorrow to be better than today. Amen. I want next week, amen, to be better than this week. Amen. I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm not talking about issues in the world. I'm talking about my spiritual walk with God. I don't have time, amen, to dwell in the past. I don't have time to drag up the old things of yesteryear. I want to reach forth, amen, with a brand new blessing, because I believe God will give us manna today. Yesterday's manna, if you didn't eat it, it's gone. But He'll give us manna today. Glory to God. Each and every day. He even said in His prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Man, so many people want to hold on to last week's bread. But no, Paul said, reach forth to obtain that, amen, that the Lord has in store for us. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Glory to God. If we're concerned about those things that are before us and quit dwelling on those things that are behind us, amen, I believe there's blessings. Amen, I believe that there's opportunities. I believe that people, that God will put people in our lives that we can witness to, that we can love, amen, that we can help. That's what we ought to be looking for. That we ought to be looking for new blessings every time we come into the house of God, amen. Every time we form together to worship, amen, in spirit and in truth, be reaching forth, amen, to be what God would have us to be. Not to what I was yesterday. are not what I, not even what I am today. If we're happy with what we are today, then we're never producing growth. We're always just in mediocrity. And a lot of people are completely satisfied with mediocrity. But if you want to run the 26 miles, if you want to climb the mountain, if you want to exceed in the business world, if you want to exceed in all of those things, why don't we want to do it in the spiritual realm? Amen. It won't make you any more saved. That's not the reason for doing it. Amen. But the Lord has filled us. He saved us. And he told his disciples, go into Judea and all the outermost parts of the preaching and teaching the word of God. That's what we need to be doing, reaching forth. Reaching forth. Reaching forth for lost souls. Reaching forth, amen, to see the manifestation of the healing power of God in his resurrection power. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then he uses the term, I press toward the mark. I wonder sometimes if we've even set the mark. Now, mark is different than goal. My goal is heaven. Amen. That's my goal. But marks sometimes are things that you reach before you reach that final goal. What is the mark? What is the mark you've set for yourself? Is it to pray an extra hour a day? By the way, I'm not telling you what your mark is. Please don't misunderstand me. That wouldn't do you any good. I have to tell me what I'm going to do. The Apostle Paul said, this is what I do. But if you set marks in you, I'm going to read a chapter a day. I'm going to get up before breakfast and I'm going to have a word of prayer and meditation before I go to work. Whatever your mark is, press toward it. Press toward it. You want to see increased blessings in your life? You want to see an increased attitude driving to work? Instead of waking up 5 minutes and you're supposed to be there 5 minutes ago and you're all stressed out. Set that mark. Set that mark. I press toward that mark. Brother, I have a hard time reaching that mark. The Apostle Paul did too. Don't feel bad. He said, I'm pressing toward it. Doesn't mean I always reach it. Doesn't mean I always do that. Amen. But I got one. I'm pressing toward it. I want to be better tomorrow. I want to be closer to the Lord tomorrow. I want to do this tomorrow. I want to praise God more. I want to sing praises unto Him. I'm pressing toward that. I'm pressing toward getting my life right. I'm pressing toward getting my mind right. I'm pressing toward forgetting those things that are behind me. But if you spend all your time remembering those bad times in your life, it's going to be very, very hard to press toward the mark. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Certainly that is our goal. Amen. To make heaven my home. Amen. To serve and praise and glorify my Savior who made it all possible for me. But you know what? There's some good reading in there. There's some mighty good reading in there. But it's not just to be read and forgotten. It's to be read and obeyed. There's things in there that will help you through each and every day. Wonderful, wonderful words of encouragement. But we got to press toward it. Reach forth. Reach forth. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when you think it's too high. I guarantee you, if you want that fruit bad enough, you'll find a way to get it. I believe that. If you want that blessing bad enough, you'll find a way to get it. The Bible says He'll give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. His riches in glory, think about that being the full fruit tree. Amen. Glory to God. It's waiting there for somebody to reach up there and pick. Are you ready to reach forth? Are you ready to make up your mind? You can't do it for me. You ain't got to do it for you. Amen. You got to do it because you believe that God will help you. I love you. I love you with all my heart. Amen. I want us to grow stronger in the Lord. I want us to grow more dependent. The way to grow stronger in the Lord is to grow more dependent on the Lord. Not independent, but more dependent on the Lord. Because, was it Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong? Amen. That takes some learning too, some understanding. How can you be strong when you're weak? Because when I'm weak, it's not my will that I'm concerned about. It's His will. Amen. I'm going to have to shut up because I feel such a preaching anointing tonight. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just feel the power of God. You know, the Bible says it don't take but two or three. He said, if two or three are gathered together, I'll be in their midst. Amen. Praise God. Would you stand tonight? We love you. Love you with all of our heart. Pray that you'll have a wonderful balance of the week. If you need prayer tonight, this altar is always open. And we never open the altar. It stays open. Amen. If you have a need, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Anyone tonight? Praise God.
Ain't God good? Amen. Praise God. One more hand clap of praise for Jesus. Would you do that?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sure. Wonderful message tonight. So overwhelming. So perfect timing. But you know God always is. He knows what we need to hear and when we need. He knows who's going to be here. I've said that many times. He knows all. And we just give Him all the honor and glory. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. All righty. Well, don't forget all the announcements. Don't forget everything going forth. It's so wonderful that y'all are here tonight, and we just love each and every one of you. This prayer will be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you tonight, dear Lord. Yes. We thank you for allowing us to hear your word, for allowing us to come together in your name, dear Lord, and for us feasting off your mighty word, dear Lord. Thank you for the message tonight, dear Lord. And, Lord, may we be reassured, dear Lord, as we reach forth. And, Lord, for you, and let you guide us in every and every step. Lord, for everyone that came forth this evening, dear Lord, whether it be before service or after, all the prayer requests, all the hands that were raised, dear Lord, all the situations that's going forward. Lord, we all are with faith and hope putting them in your hands. Lord, we thank you now for answering prayers. We're thanking you for strengthening us. Lord, we thank you for encouraging. And, Lord, as we prepare to leave, we ask you to keep us safe. Yes. Bring us back at our appointed time. And, Lord, for each and every household represented here, dear Lord, may your blessing be upon them. And the Lord, and be strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week.